Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report episode 2. I'm Damien Fleming, and joining me is a man who wore the baggy green number 394, only the third Brad to do it in the history of Australian cricket. He's a legend of the East Sandringham Cricket Club. It's, of course, Bradley Hodge. Welcome, Bradley.
Flemo, good to be here. How's things?
I'm pretty good. Can you name the other three Brads that have played Test cricket for Australia?
Only been three.
Four, plus yourself.
Yeah. Well, it probably wasn't a popular name back in the early 1900s.
Well, it wasn't, surprisingly enough. And there's only been one Kepler.
Yeah, well, true.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, I can name one. Wicketkeeper for Australia, Brad Haddin. He was pretty good.
One of the greats.
Yep. The other two.
Current era, you were the third. Bradley.
Right.
There was two before you.
Two before me. Brad Wigney.
Wiggers, I think, was in a squad. Jeez, we love Brad Wigney.
The Wasp duo, we love.
Just a toe in when he was bowling. Very good white ball bowler, Brad Wigney.
Yeah, pretty good. Let me have a get. I reckon I've got one.
Yes.
I reckon he's a spinner.
Yep.
Brad Hogg.
Yes.
Hoggy, the Hogwash.
Still playing. Renegades.
Still playing. Yeah. He is my idol.
Tongues out.
I have to outplay the Hoggy.
I think Hoggy is my age, isn't he? 47.
Yep.
Okay. One more. And a guy, actually, you'll know it because he was actually one of your better cricketing mates when you were coming through the Victorian cricket pathway.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I reckon I know who it is.
Go.
I reckon he's from Mornington Peninsula.
Correct.
And he bowled super fast thunderbolts. Brad Williams.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, my fellow Melbourne Cricket Club player as well.
Had the blonde hair, had the earring. He was sort of almost a poor man's, at that stage, Shane Warne bowling fast, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's probably the Frankston coming out of him more than the Mornington Peninsula.
Okay.
It was probably more of
played
the yellow.
Played for the Baxter Cricket Club where my cousins played.
It's probably more of the yellow shade of blonde tips than blonde. But he was fast.
Well, he was the fastest Victorian bowler that I played with.
Yep.
Yeah, and right over the top, got good bounce. And by the time he played for Australia, he actually bowled quite well in one day cricket for Australia, but he was more in the high 130. 140 mark, so he'd become a more astute bowler for when he went to Western Australia, but nowhere near as fast. Like it wasn't quite Brett Lee, but I don't think it was far off.
No, when he was younger, I reckon he was Brett Lee. I reckon they were probably on par. Brett was probably marginally more skillful moving the outswinger when he was younger, but devastatingly quick. Binger used to just like the nose and toes when he was a youngster, as did Willow. But
is there anything in the peroxide blonde hair? Does that add a yard or two?
Tomo was quick.
Yep.
Maybe. Devin Malcolm, he didn't have it though. He was pretty quick.
Maybe he should have. Could have hit 160.
Yeah. But look, he was quick, Willow. I played under 17s and under 19s with him, and he was one of those guys where players in opposition teams knew when they were coming against Victoria.
No, thanks.
They just said, no, thank you.
No, thanks. So there's the history of Brads in Australian Test cricket. Okay, things you need to know in cricket today. And the GOAT lived up to his name yesterday. The greatest of all time, Nathan Lyon, is now the seventh most prolific Test wicket taker in the history of Australian cricket. You know, Jason Gillespie, the big Diz, he's gone.
Well, he's gone.
The GOAT's gone past him.
Unbelievable. 5 for 77 on day one, the GOAT. Opened the bowling for Australia, an off-spin bowler opening the bowling.
The first time, Bradley, since 1938 Test match over there in England in Notts, Bill O'Reilly opened the bowling in the first innings of a Test match.
Unbelievable. Look, I would have thought I would have thought Funky Miller might have opened the bowling. But did he open the bowling as an outswing bowler or a off-spin bowler?
I know he opened the bowling because twice I was 12th man and omitted because he bowled a few little outswingers, but mainly for his spin. So wasn't happy about that. But what an effort. And now he's poised to take over from the spin king, Shane Warne. He's only 448 wickets behind the great man.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he gets within 447, I reckon we'll see an unfortunate injury to the goat, Gazza Lion, because there's no chance in the world Warnie's letting anyone get anywhere.
Do you reckon he's got mates in high places?
I would have thought I would have thought there's some gangsters in Las Vegas that he knows that
plays poker
can take care of a few of those things if need be. But 448 away, he'll definitely have no hair left. Nathan Lyon after that.
No.
There's not much left now, but...
But a great effort, wasn't it? And I think he's got 3 fifers in a row. His stats in the subcontinent this year are outstanding. It's around averaging 21 runs, you know, India, Sri Lanka. So he's improved. Also, what I liked, well, his quotes were, in my terms, I've learnt to bowl ugly. That might be a bit of round arm bowling for me, trying to undercut the ball. And the stock ball's actually my variety because on day one, the ball really didn't turn a lot.
Oh, it did absolutely nothing.
But he was able to provide his own variation. That's what he's talking about, bowling ugly.
Yeah, he's keeping himself in the game. I think that as an off-spin bowler, especially in Australia, we've got such great quality quicks. Unless you're a Warnie, you're always throwing the ball to the quicks. I think that's just something which is inbred in the captain's DNA in Australia.
Yeah.
We love to see the ball fly through to the keeper and spin as a second option. Finally, we've had the greatest of all time opening the bowling.
Yes.
So spin now has become a first option, a priority.
There's kids out there shaving their head, bowling off. He's undercutting the ball. As I said, they're learning to bowl ugly out in the backyards back now because of Nathan Lyon.
Yes. And look, whatever works. I think that he had criticisms in the past about bowling, you know, overseas, especially in India. But I think people need to understand that bowling in India and Sri Lanka and people that are good against spin, it's a tough assignment for anyone. And not many people have dominated. But I'm pleased to see that these off-spinners have come through. We talked a little bit off-air about, Funky Miller.
We led to that was it's Bruce Yardley's 70th birthday, one of the few Australian off-spinners that have taken 100 wickets. He was International Cricketer of the Year in 1981-82, beating my idol, Dennis Illy. He had this long-angled run-up. I don't know if you might be a bit young to remember Roo Yardley, but he took a lot of wickets. It was funny enough, he was an ex-outswing bowler when he started for Western Australia, a baseball pitcher. And like Colin Miller, who is also an outswing bowler and a baseballer, I wonder if there's something in that the quick arm speed actually gets more revolutions on the ball. Maybe. As outswing bowlers, they're always going to have an arm ball because really it's just an off-spinner's outswing delivery. Yeah. So I wonder, you know, besides an out-and-out off-spinner like Nath Lyon, for those medium paces we're trying to turn into off-spinners, or should we be trying to do it more? You know, average medium paces, get them bowling off spin.
Why not? Why not? I imagine Roo would have had a pretty good tash too in the 70s.
Well, we had it. You know, my first Shield game, 1989, I'm 18, he played in it. He made a comeback after 9 years. That's he was 42.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And after each day's play, a few beers, he's just holding court and he still had the mo. One of the great characters of Australian cricket. Yeah,
and that's when you had your...
Mullet.
You mullet as well.
Yeah, I'm looking to bring that back this summer.
Good old days.
Other thing you need to know, I think Matty Wade, who was under pressure to keep his spot, had one of his best keeping days of his test career. He took a really good catch to get rid of Shakib. The stumping was outstanding as well. It was quick thinking and it was good execution. Only let through the 5 byes after 30 in the first test match there. And for one... he had to play this test match, in my belief, because you can't pick a specialist wicketkeeper for a 2-test tour and then drop them after one. That just means you made a selection error in the first place.
Absolutely, and he's probably gone. It would have been a huge selection call because if you drop him now, then he's probably dust for the ashes, and I think they need to keep that in mind. He did an excellent job, and those five buys was from Paddy Cummins late in the day, who was chuck one down the leg side with a second new ball, and Matty had no chance. So, look, he had a fantastic day. Bounce back, which is the type of courageous person that he is. He's a little fighter, and he wouldn't have liked the criticism, but he's obviously accepted it.
But he's a common sense sort of guy, yeah. Matty Waite. He knows his runs output is not enough to have a sustained run in the Test match team. I think he's a wonderful batsman. I like him in the subcontinent. I could see where they were going, Wade versus Neville, as in Wade has more boundary shots in the subcontinent. He's a strong sweeper of the ball. He's got genuine power, but he's not scoring runs.
No, it's that, look, it's an important aspect. You ask the traditional keepers in the world, they'll tell you to pick the best keeper, but unfortunately the game is slowly
moved on.
It's moved. Adam Gilchrist changed the goalposts. And
the greatest Brad to play Test cricket for Australia, Brad Haddin, was pretty good.
Absolutely, and he just filled those shoes at Gilly and those guys, along with guys like Matty Prior as well for England, who contributed with the bat
and
did well. Now you see Josh Butler and these guys. So
Bairstow?
Yeah, you've just got to be up there averaging 30 with a bat, and 20 doesn't cut it. And
but he's got at least two innings to prove himself, Wadey.
Yeah, well, there will be a selection dilemma if he doesn't get him over the line.
Well, I think it'll get down to Shield runs. I think they've got two Shield games, and it'll be a bad off. Mm. Peter Neville averages 43, I think, in first-class cricket. And Alex Carey got picked for that Australia A tour as well, so good reports about him.
Yeah, he's one to look out for sure.
Okay, what about the team they actually picked? Just going back a day here, the Sock. Under suspension from New South Wales. He's back in. Didn't go to Darwin. I'm assuming he didn't go to Darwin because of the suspension. But if he was a chance, if there was an injury and he was the next in line, surely he had to go because John Holland, who played in that Sri Lankan series, got dropped, has gone back and dominated Shield cricket.
Yeah.
Saw the highlights from Darwin. He had them actually tied on the crease. They didn't know what to do with him. So that's an interesting one. I know Sock's history of that 12 wickets early in the year, it would be in the selectors' eyes. But, geez, I think John Holland. And the other thing I'm realising in this test match too, it's interesting, Stephen O'Keefe, smaller than the other two spinners, more round arm, bowling slower was ineffective on day one. Holland, taller, uses flight, might have been a better option. Unless they think he's too much like Ashton Agar.
Look, maybe. I'm not sure. I'd love to know the ins and outs of his selection. It must have been a tough one. I just can't see how they've overlooked Holland in this situation. He's done everything right. He's gone and had an unbelievably good Sheffield Shield season, as has Steve O'Keefe in the past couple of seasons as well. So both of them extremely good players. But I reckon this is a bit of a captain's call, actually.
Okay.
I think that this is one where the captain from New South Wales has backed his mate in, and the selectors have run with it. And unfortunately, there just wasn't enough support around the table for Johnny Holland, as devastating as that is. Unfortunately, that's the selection panel, the way it works. And one gets in and one misses out.
Now, I think the captain still needs to have a strong say. They're the ones that are captaining on the field, but there's always got to be balance, and that's what the other selectors are going to be bringing from the table. Hilton Cartwright comes in for his second test match. They were saying a little bit to help out with the medium paces. Well, he didn't open up the bowling, and I don't think he's going to run through the Bangladesh boys with the ball. But, a hard-hitting batsman – And if it doesn't break up too much in the first innings, he is capable of scoring quickly.
Yeah, look, I like him as a cricketer. I think he's probably going to find himself more of a white ball cricketer than red ball in the short future. He'll definitely develop, but I can't see how 107 kilometre an hour full tosses to Bangladesh batsmen are ever going to have an effect in world cricket.
Might be a game plan.
We've all shanked one the deep long on or mid-wicket a couple of times, but look, he hasn't played for a while as well. So I reckon when he played in Sydney, he did a really good job. And, you know, these guys that might have been short of a gallop and a little bit rusty. He probably has only been bowling in the nets, been sitting on the pine for the last 10 or 12 days. So he's coming in. And
he looks like he'd be more effective in England, South African conditions at number six.
Yeah.
You know, he could definitely bowl you half a dozen overs. And he seems like a very astute cricketer.
Yep.
But that's tough conditions there. We've had a statement from Cricket Australia, security manager Sean Carroll. En route back to the hotel last night, a window on the Australian team bus was broken. No one was injured. Team security personnel are currently in discussions with local authorities to investigate the cause. It is believed to be a small rock or stone. So no right. cricket ball.
Okay.
Small rock or stone.
Right. Well, first of all, we will squash the rumours that it was Usman Khawaja.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
him? No, Usman dropped, didn't play his 25th test.
Okay. Because I've wanted to do that a couple of times in my career. So I can understand if it was Usman, but... It wasn't. Let's just clear that up. The other thing
he's running out the drinks. I mean, he's disappointed, but he's around the team.
The other thing it wasn't Hilton Cartwright either, because it was apparently trajectory was faster than 107 kilometers an hour.
But I think he's throwing arm. He's got rocking arm, Cartwright. Okay. So
bowled at the team bus. It was thrown. Okay, that's cool.
Right. We've had no confirmation on Jackson Bird, however. Okay. Cummo's Chittagong, excellent adventure. I don't know if you caught Pat Cummins' first spell yesterday. He's the only quick playing. It was electrifying. It was fast on a belter. He really, the angle across the left-handers was fantastic. He was getting play and misses. His variation of length was excellent. You know, catching him on the crease, the odd bouncer, the odd fuller Yorker. Had got one nick to Glenn Maxwell. Maxie, seriously, do we have to talk about slippers looking after their bowlers? Yes. That was an absolute shocker. I don't know what happened there, but I don't know if you saw the deterioration of Paddy Cummins throughout the day. He went off. He had to be restrapped. He had to get his core temperature down, because Chittagong in Bangladesh is on the southeastern coast of Bangladesh, has a tropical monsoon climate. Now, monsoons are large-scale sea breezes which occur when the temperature on land is significantly warmer or cooler than the temperature of the ocean. So yesterday, 32 degrees, 96% humidity. By the 16th over, I thought Paddy was going to photosynthesize. And I don't know whether humans can, but he was pretty much as close as I've seen to it.
He looked close to death, didn't he?
For people listening, to play in those oppressive heat and high humidity cities, I'll tell you what, nothing prepares you for it. The worst day I ever had, we were in 1998 tour to India, a place called Cochin.
It's beautiful.
You know, it's normally very humid when it is near the water there, the ocean, and nothing prepared for us. I remember in the warm-up, now Jeff Marsh used to do basically training sessions for the warm-up. They weren't warm-up, they were training sessions.
Right.
So we're doing everything. Looking at the Indians, they're coming out doing little throwdowns, then walking in. And, you know, Aussie cricketers are like, oh, look at those soft blokes over there. No, they're not. They're not soft.
Yeah.
The Indian cricketers are smart.
Is this what Mark Waugh called the fourth session?
Oh, yeah. But it's the first session of the four.
Yeah.
So training session. And I just remember I've either got really unfit all of a sudden, but I'm battling. We bowl first and it's tough. We actually get Sachin Tendulkar out cheaply, under 10. So he'd made 3,000 runs against us in that previous 8 weeks. So we thought, beauty, the little master can have a bad day.
Yeah.
Michael Kasperich, our big quick, had been the only person that lasted the whole tour in that time. He got that disorientated. He kept trying to run off the opposite foot he normally did and just falling on the turf, right? So we carted him off. All of a sudden, he's back on and he sort of geeing himself up like a jockey, you know, hitting his butt back like that, trying to get in. Once again, started, and he's just out. And I remember I just was bowling and the squelching inside your boots.
The moisture.
And I bowled six etras, right? So I had to bowl an extra over.
Oh, my word.
And I just remember then in my mark, Hodgie, just thinking, I don't care what happens with this ball. I just want to get the ball down the other end. So we get in there and we get flogged.
Yeah.
And Sachin Tendulkar, you know, the little master, who's going to have his bad day. Yeah, he got five for 30.
He got five for 30.
Far with the bat.
So he turned it around and got man of the match. Is that what you're
So he got
me?
Man of the match.
My God.
And as we're walking off, the locals, they're just hitting us with everything. You know, rocks, oranges, watermelons, which was that because I reckon that looked like I was bowling watermelons that day. Probably. What about yourself?
Me, I looked similar conditions. It was in Chennai, actually, where we went over there for what was known then as the AIS Cricket Academy. And we'd gone over there and I was playing and hadn't taken a liking to the local cuisine as yet. Wasn't used
enough,
to the spices. And in Chennai, it is generally around 36 degrees with the 96 to 98% humidity. And I was a bit like young Renshaw in that first test match in India.
Some tummy grumbles.
But lucky enough, he actually got to go to the toilet. I didn't make the toilet.
The follow through when you weren't bowling.
I actually played a beautiful cover drive. And all of a sudden, you know, the four turned into a boundary and a little bit more in the inside of the pants. Anyway.
And you just bat on. You don't run off, do you?
Well, I couldn't. I actually didn't know what to do because the two Indian umpires didn't really understand a lot of English. And I was on 15 at this time. I managed to get 82.
Oh.
So
I'm not surprised by that.
No, but I couldn't actually take the field because of the amount of the German soccer player Chas Finkter that had managed to get into my bottom.
I remember that day in Cochin. Batsmen were coming off and having to get helped with their pads off. I just remember just lying there, and it took me about 90 minutes to get my boots off. I just couldn't bend over to get rid of the shoelaces, go there. Talking about players who do some superhuman things, there was a match in the Caribbean Premier League, and Rakeem Cornwell, who's supposedly the world's heaviest cricketer.
Not supposedly.
Do you reckon he is?
Yes.
And he hits the ball beautifully. And the 24-year-old recorded his first T20 50, 78 off 44 balls, most of them in fours or sixes. But he had a run-in, not surprisingly, with Kieran Pollard.
No. Not had a good week, has he, Kieran?
Pollard, not happy that big Rakeem exhausted himself with his hitting and just proceeded to walk off.
No.
And I don't think it's monsoon season over there.
No. Big Cornwell, I think Rakeem has actually seen the chicken wings and the ribs
time
on off
go.
In the barbecue there at St Kitts and Nevis and thought, righto, I've had enough of this.
Time to go.
Yeah, time to go.
I'll tell you what, though, I want to see more of Cornwell. There's a lot to see, but I mean, I want to see more of him at international level. He smashes him. Bowls some offies too, doesn't he?
He does bowl some offies. I don't think he can run any further than four steps, so pretty much that's all he can bowl.
Well done. Well done, Cornwell. Okay, last one here. What about Virat Kohli? You could talk about his career just about every week, I would have thought, but he scored his 30th one-day international century during the week. Well, they're consecutive hundreds. This one just coming off 116 balls. Mm. He equals Australian great Ricky Ponting as second behind Sachin Tendulkar's 49 one-day international hundreds. What about this first stat, though? Ricky Ponting, one of the greatest batsmen of all time, took 365 innings for those 30 hundreds. Kohli, 194. Almost half the innings.
Oh, they're ridiculous numbers. And look, to think that he'll probably track down Sachin pretty comfortably the way he's going. I thought Steve Smith would go close to tracking down Sachin as well. But
Sachin got 100. 100 international hundreds.
Yeah.
That's a lot of runs. I got sick of bowling to Sachin. Oh.
We was out
I just have to
get
him
enough.
In there all the time.
Well, I reckon pretty much a lot of people are getting sick of bowling at Virat too.
What I like about Virat too, he's got some quotes here. And in the article from over there in the Times, it said, with the tone of an ancient soul, so I'm visualising Yoda from Star Wars, Kohli goes, at this stage of your career, it becomes about awareness, what the team wants you to do. Last game was an opportunity for me to come out and play the game. That was his 131 off 96 balls. But today, the responsibility was on me at 2 for 29 that I had to hang in there. And I reckon the number of times I've been in that situations, you need a plan and then you react to the situation. That scares me if I was a bowler. He seems so adaptable in any situation, in any form of the game.
Well, he's a good leader. I think he's leading this side really well. Since he's taken over, they've got a great record. He's leading from the front by example, exactly what Ricky Ponting did when he took the field as leader of Australia. And scary to think that if he's using Yoda's skills and using the Force, yeah. What is possible of this young man is unheard of. The world is his oyster.
Well, the Force is with him. The Force is with him. It's not with the bowlers.
No. Well, you're no chance, actually. So we played against him in IPL 2 years ago, and he got 900 runs in 14 games. It's ridiculous. He got 100 both times when we played him.
Yeah.
We didn't know what.
Hundreds in T20 cricket. Well, let's hope the bowlers can strike back. Okay, that's things you need to know in cricket today. Hodgie, what about this segment? I like this one. The Social Media Self-Promoter Award. You've got the nominations, I'll do the votes. Is that the way we'll do from similar to last week?
Yes, we've got a couple of nominations this week, and one is, it's one of our greatest fast bowlers, Brett Lee Binger. And this was put in by the Aussie Cricket Podcast, actually. They dogged him in beautifully. And it was Binger sitting in first class on his way over to India to commentate on the series coming up, thanking the Singapore Airlines
Champers.
For champagne in hand, probably a prawn cocktail. Binger, we know you're a star and you live in a great part of Sydney and you're loaded, but keep that self-promotion to yourself, please. So that's nomination.
No, I'm going the other way. Keep doing it, Binger, because then we get nominations. Okay, you got another one there?
Well, another one is Dino, who's second week in a running for
Didn't
Dino.
Get votes last week, got a mention.
He got a nomination, yep. So this might be his week. So Dino was out self-promoting for Star India, who...
Got the rights to the IPL.
So Dino was just out there congratulating all those involved in Star India. And I imagine it's basically selling his skills as a commentator.
That's what he does.
Yep. So we thought that's not necessary.
That's pretty clear.
Dino.
That's a pretty certain I'm available.
Clear nomination for
and
self-promotion.
Use me.
Yep. And we had another one with Aaron Finch. And Craig Mesger has dobbed him in beautifully.
Thanks, Craig.
So about a week ago, young Aaron, who was returning home for his injury in Surrey, obviously thought he has nothing better to do. And 4 years ago, he posted in that he made 156 for Australia off 65 balls on this particular day. So that is...
And he's retweeted it.
Yes.
His
own achievement up there.
Oh, geez.
Young Aaron Finch. And then
that's votes for Finchy.
Yeah, I would have thought so. And the other one is Aussie Cricket Podcast has dobbed me in as well again.
I thought you were going to leave it out.
No.
Courage to nominate yourself.
Wow. Well, yes.
Because I'm quite confident that you and me are going to get a lot of votes.
Yeah,
in this.
Well... Well, yes, there has been a lot of nominations for getting this podcast out there, but that's null and void. I think that's not self-promotion.
So your tweet,
that's just awareness.
You with a lovely group of people, had a lovely lunch with the sponsors of, what's that one, AIHL?
It's the Australian Hockey League.
With Commissioner Robert Bannerman. That's no relative of the Bannerman that scored 100 on test debut in 1870, the first person to score 100. I think he scored 65% of the runs scored in that innings. Can you confirm or deny that Robert's not a descendant
I can neither do any of them.
Dinner at Heston too. Jeez, a crown.
It was fantastic.
Jeez,
it was a tough Saturday.
You're a bit of a high flyer.
This was a real tough Saturday. And I was lucky enough, and this is self-promotion, I was in a wonderful position to be able to just sit there. And I actually ate, for those that follow MasterChef on Channel 10, I ate that Lamington with the 109-step challenge that they had. It was magnificent.
What do you mean, 109-step challenge?
There's 109 steps
to
build
to get
a Lamington.
I thought you had to step 109 times. No.
I can go down to the local shop and get one for $1.50, but...
That's very Aussie of you to eat a Lamington as well.
Yeah, but anyway...
That should be a part of our diet.
Aussie Cricket Podcast has dobbed me in. Well
done to Craig Mesger and the Aussie Cricket Podcast. Make sure you check out that as well. Everyone there. My votes, I'm going to go. Oh, geez, this is tough. I'm going to go I'm going to go Finchie four votes because that's just a blatant.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I scored this 3 years ago. Yes.
You're a good player.
I think I'll give Dino three because that's a clear well done.
Yes.
I'm available.
I'm looking for a job. Yeah.
Two to Bradley Hodge because that is you own this segment and you must have known that was a chance to get nominated.
Yeah.
And Brett Lee. Well done, Bing. You go on business class or first class. Keep them coming because we'd love to give you some votes here. So hope you enjoyed the social media self-promoter. Send in any suggestions to us on Tweet, Facebook, Instagram. We're both on it, or Bradley. So we need your help.
We need your help.
And don't just leave it to cricketers or sports people. No. There's plenty of celebrities.
We might look west next week.
Where's west?
Which way is that? That's Europe, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We might head over to England, see if there's any superstars coming out of there. Maybe Wayne Rooney. See what he's got for us with self-promotion.
Or I'll tell you, the trouble he got during the week, I don't think he would have been tweeting that
one. Self-promoting how well he drives at night, I suppose.
No, I think there were some other issues there, Brad. Okay, let's move on. The how-to guide, Bradley. This one, the how-to guide from myself would be is how to present trophies after finals. One of our great mates, Dan Christian, Victorian Bush Rangers, Redbacks, Australia. He's back in the Australian T20 team. Good to see that. He's captain over there in the NatWest T20 Blast Trophy of the Notts Outlaws. I like that nickname.
The Outlaws.
They beat the Birmingham Bears in the final. DC, what happened when he's batting? Made 24 of 8 deliveries.
Brilliant. He's a superstar in T20 at the moment. I think he did the same thing in the...
Plenty of wickets too for Dan Christian.
IPL final as well.
Yep. He's an explosive player, always has been, and I think he's quite comfortable where his career is here. Yep. What he's not comfortable is he got presented the trophy from a lady from NatWest, and I don't know how many times she's presented trophies in finals before because... Dan is going up because when you're called, you go straight towards where the trophy is. But this lady hasn't just lifted up and gone to the right. She's panicked. She's panicked and gone straight backwards. DC is walking straight into it. Bad technique. He gets smashed in the eye. He now has a black eye, a bleeding black eye. I know they're Outlaws, but... You know, they're happy to cop a ball there, not a trophy.
Yes.
And then she jumps forward, like jumps the ship.
He actually did tweet his injury, and which probably could have made our last segment. But anyway, her delivery of the trophy.
Just a poor technique.
Horrendous technique. She hasn't probably studied the techniques before. She hasn't probably watched any FA Cup or European World Cup soccer, how it's presented. There's plenty of instances before where she could have seen what's happened.
And NatWest would no doubt sponsor a lot of sporting.
Yeah.
I suppose I question the bosses there. Like, do they have and if they don't already, is there a specific role for a trophy presenter at NatWest? Because I'm available.
Yeah, I'm available as well. And this is also...
Because I'd lift it straight up, wait till the captain gets their hands on it, then you get out. You don't just throw it backwards and I'm out of here.
Well, there are a few people that like to get their face on the presentation table. But anyway, this is important.
I don't
important
think she was that like that.
The how-to guide is vital.
Mm.
A lot of footy presentations are happening as we speak. The end of footy season. We're going to see the AFL grand final in a couple of weeks. So let's watch
Who's presenting
technique.
It, Hurdy? Yes. James Hurd's presenting. I wonder if James has seen this.
Let's watch his technique. And then those, we'll see probably the skill of a true champion.
James, if you're listening... You know, put your arm out to us because we'll give you some tips there. Or if he listens to it, he'll know what to do anyway. Now, have you got a how-to guide for this week?
My how-to guide. No.
I thought your how-to guide was about sportsmanship.
Oh, yes. Is this sportsmanship?
Which is very topical in the last couple of days. And
yes.
That's the thing we...
The how-to guide of sportsmanship. Now, we want to go to the CPL again. And we mentioned me before, but Kieran Pollard.
One of the greatest T20 players of all time.
Yep. And this captain of the Barbados Trident.
Very competitive.
Anyway, I don't think they're going to win the Fair Spirit Award anytime soon, the Barbados Trident.
Well, they couldn't have got votes after this game.
Because what's happened is that The Barbados Tridents were playing against the St Kitts Nevis. And
the Patriots.
The Patriots, is it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I actually played for that team. I should know that.
No, I mentioned that last week. You know, in those 48 teams you've played for, I mentioned the Patriots.
That's one of them. Anyway, tracking down an average score of 129 for victory, Chris Gale and Evan Lewis have really made a demolition act of this. And Evan Lewis needed a boundary. He was on 97 not out, to cut a long story short. So he needed a boundary to score his 100 with one wicket, one run to win. And Kieran Pollard deliberately oversteps the popping crease, delivers a no ball. Game finished. Game over. So no chance for Evan to score his 100. And
it's poor.
I just don't know what was going through Kieran's head, because he's probably had a couple of choices.
Yes.
And his choices would have been accept defeat, we've lost, try and get him out or get a single. He finishes 98 not out. They win the game, you shake hands, you walk off. B, he could have just lobbed one up in the slot and allowed he smacks him, it over him. In the stand. Yeah. We're in the business of entertainment, T20. Yeah. The crowd go nuts. We all jump around and they all drink rum and punch later on in the evening. Or let's do the third choice, which is the idiot choice of bowling a no ball. So probably his mate cannot get a century.
It finishes on a sour note, doesn't it?
And then has the audacity to walk up and shake his hand. And
I want to know what was
to,
said there.
I've no
idea. I don't
idea.
Think so, because he was shaking his head. I'd like to hear from Evan, who looks a brilliant young talent.
Oh, he's a gun.
Like he looked up his international T20 record, averaging 35 strike rate of 150, 160. Mm. He made Chris Gale the secondary partner. This is how well he's hitting it. Hit the fastest half century of the tournament, 19 balls. But here was his chance to have, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Natural with Robert Redford. This was his Roy Hobbs moment.
Point the finger.
Finished with a six. Pollard, people would say, yeah, well done to Corin.
How can you say well done?
If he'd if he'd just competed and got hit for four.
Done.
Because I remember as a kid watching Ian Botham bowl to Greg Chappell in a test match. I reckon it was 1979-80. Yeah. Greg's on 96. You know what Beefy Botham does? Bowls a slow bouncer to allow Greg the chance to hit a six. Now, he hit it for four, ended up 98 not out. But I remember thinking,
I like
pretty good bloke there, Ian Botham. And it's interesting, karma looks after you. But the chance to, and as you said, we're in the entertainment business. Yeah. We're in the sportsmanship business. Mm. And no votes there for Kieran Pollard.
No, none at all. And I got a little story about that as well, just to cap it off. I was umpiring in the under-12As last year, and a young kid was danced down the wicket of the last ball and was clearly stumped by 2 or 3 metres, and I was giving not out. Anyway, they all had a good Saturday. We walked off and all's done well. So Kieran, pitch the ball up, let him hit it for six, and move on to the next contest.
Okay, that was the how-to guide. More on the next episode. Okay, to finish it off, headlines, it's day two at the moment, end of the test match. What are they going to be? For me, it is Paddy Wax. I'm predicting a close one. And Patrick Cummins won the test match with the bat in his first debut test match against South Africa. I reckon he's going to hit the winning runs.
Yep.
Gary Lyons down the other end. We win by one wicket. Paddy Wax. What about you?
Yeah, I love it. I'm calling, I'm not sure it's going to be the end of the, but I'm calling Warner goes chitty, chitty, bang, bang. I reckon he's going to double up. I can see a double ton for the Kaboom boy.
Oh, a double ton in the second innings of a test match on potentially a turner.
Well, I don't even think they'll need a second innings. I just think he'll go out there and pile on 700, and then the wickets in the second innings are irrelevant.
I'd love to see either of those. I reckon Warner double 100, Paddy hitting the runs. Hey, mate, that's it for the Bowlology Report Episode 2. Bradley Hodge, thanks for joining us. And make sure that you subscribe on SoundCloud. We're out to iTunes, Hodgie. I reckon we're not far, but make sure
your help.
You have a listen, and we'll be back with episode 3 next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.